Do you wonder where Peter was when he was giving this message? Do you wonder what was happening in the life of faith of the disciples? Well, I'm going to share a little backstory for you. Peter at this time was at a particular home. He was at the home of Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion of an Italian cohort. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he was a man of great faith. And he had been convicted by God to call upon Peter to come and speak with him. And Peter was in the midst of prayer. And in the midst of prayer, had a dream. Had a dream about being hungry and eating food that was unclean. And he wasn't quite certain what that meant. And he heard a voice telling him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." And the voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened to Peter about three times. And then when Peter was puzzling over why he would have this particular dream and why God was telling him to eat unclean food, Cornelius' servant arrives and asks that they come and meet with Cornelius. So there Peter is at the home of Gentiles. And he recognizes that what God had called him to do was to bring the message not just to Jews, but to Gentiles and to the world beyond. So when Peter begins to speak to them and speak to us this morning, and he says that "I truly understand that God shows no partiality," Peter understood that there is no one that God finds unworthy of love. There is no one that cannot be redeemed if we witness to them the message of forgiveness and grace and love and mercy that is the witness that we have of Jesus Christ in our own lives. And Peter gives us an example of what we need to share. Not only do we share our personal testimony of how God has worked in our lives, how we have come to understand the message of the empty tomb, how we have received that forgiveness from God, how our lives have been made new by God through Jesus Christ. When we share that story, our personal story, we also have to share the story of who Jesus is, that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and that he went around Jerusalem and Judea healing the sick, raising the dead, and then he went to the cross for us. And it is there at the cross that he died that we might have life, that it is through his death that our sins are forgiven. We can do nothing to receive that forgiveness other than accept it. We don't have to give alms to receive it. We don't have to do good to receive it. We simply have to open our hearts, our minds, and our lives and accept the fact that God loves us enough to die on the cross for us, to conquer death for us, and rise again that we might have life and have it eternal. The empty tomb is the message of hope. The message that this is not the end. Our earthly life is not the end of all things. That we have new life in Christ. And it begins when we accept that. When we think that eternal life begins when our mortal life dies, we've got it wrong. Eternal life in Christ begins the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you have said yes to God, you have said no to death, sin and death. You are now in an eternal state. Your mortal flesh may die, but you will never die. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. But Peter goes on to tell us some more. He says, "But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead." He commanded us to testify. We are witnesses to all that he did. Peter reminds us who are witnesses, that we are to testify about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are his witnesses. When I think about what that means to be his witnesses, I was watching the news yesterday about a group from Tennessee. They are the Tennessee Tough, for those who are Boston Strong. And what happened a year ago in Boston, which was a story we thought of death, touched the people in Tennessee, because there were a couple runners from Tennessee that were in that marathon. Touched them enough that they decided that they were going to be a team of runners and run from their place in Tennessee to Boston. They had been running nonstop. I think, yes, last night they had crossed, they were at the Connecticut-Massachusetts border. And one member of their team has been running continuously from Tennessee to Boston. One particular member has already run 5 marathons in the course of this trek to that Boston start line. Not all of them will run in the Boston Marathon, but there are a few of them who are going to be running in the Boston Marathon this Monday. But they feel that they are Tennessee tough for those who are Boston strong. And they're making a witness to us about what it means to turn something from death to life, what it means to stand in solidarity for those who want to make a different statement to the world, that the world isn't all about terror and fear and anxiety and assumptions, but the world is about love and commitment and connection and strength through numbers and people standing next to one another who are almost going to fall. That the Tennessee Tough are there for those who are Boston Strong, and that they are making that connection over a highway. So when we think about how connections are made, we can think about those runners, one after another, handing baton to baton to baton, mile after mile after mile, hours and days of their lives taken out of real time and placed into Kairos time, into God's time, to make that witness to a community and to the world, that through the power of connection and love, we can change the world. That death and hate does not win, but love does. In order for us, though, to be those kinds of witnesses, we have to be a little bit like Peter. If you remember, as I shared the story about where Peter was, when he had that vision of the meat, Peter was in prayer. We may not know where God is calling us to stand. We may not know what darkness we are called to be in, unless we go into prayer. And in the midst of prayer, God guides us into what our mission in the world is, the place where we are to be those witnesses. And when we hear in that prayer where God is calling us, we need to be just like Peter and be obedient to God's call. And you notice Peter did not go out and seek Cornelius. He didn't know what was next. God brought the servant to Peter, and then Peter knew the reality of God's call upon his life and acted through it. Sometimes we have to go seek it out, but sometimes God sends it to us. So in the midst of our prayer, as disciples of Christ, we find out where we are to go to witness. And then what do we tell them? Do they first want to hear about Jesus Christ? Would that make sense to them first? Or first do they want the relationship made? If you remember, there was a meal served. Cornelius served a meal. The disciples met with Jesus after he was risen at a meal. Meals are where we make our relationships. I don't know why the meal, the table, seems to be the place where we best meet and greet and be with one another. But the table seems to be the place where we seem to be able to reach across many lines and not only feed each other with food, but feed each other with stories. Feed each other and begin those relationship building so then we can tell them the story of how Christ made a difference in our life. If you were here this morning at sunrise service or just made it into the pancake breakfast, the men do that here each year. They serve a meal. They serve a meal to all of us who come. And across that table, we meet various people and we hear various stories and we share great traditions. And this particular morning, this Sunday, there was a loaf of bread that was braided, that was brought, that my son made. And I got to share the story of Swedish coffee bread and why it's important to us and why the recipe gets passed down from generation to generation. But it reminded me about the Lord's table and how when we come to that table, we also have to share that story, the story of Christ who came, healed the sick, ate with sinners, and died on the cross for us. But before he died, he took that ordinary meal and turned it into something extraordinary. That when we gather at the table of Christ, it doesn't matter who we are, where we've been. It matters more that we are there. Because in the midst of our presence and that meal, God can do miracles. God can work wonders in our lives if we are open to the receiving of the Holy Spirit that is present. John Wesley, the beginner of our tradition called Methodism, said it doesn't matter what state you are in when you are there at the table, because it is God who is there as the host, and it is God whose grace can use that meal to transform lives. If God can raise the dead, if God can ascend into heaven, God can take an ordinary meal and turn it into an extraordinary blessing. God can take an ordinary life and turn it into an extraordinary word of his grace. So you've made the relationship over the table and you tell them your story. You tell them where you're from. You tell them how God has entered into your life, how God has transformed that life through his grace. And when they hear that story, guess who they're going to want to know about? They're going to want to know about Jesus. They're going to want to know that death isn't the final answer. That the tomb is empty. That Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. That Easter is that time of joy, that we aren't people of anything but people of the resurrection. We live because he died, but we live also because he lives. So this morning, my Lord is here in each and every one of you. The tomb is empty. And he wants you to be his witnesses in the world. Because we are the only witness that he has. So if you haven't received our Lord and Savior, and you are wondering why I am so excited about it, maybe ask the one beside you who has to tell you their story. Because we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, want you to be part of our family. Because Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Praise be to God. Amen. Now you're about ready to get out.